I don't know about you, but summer is here, and I would not be surprised if every one of you would have complaints, concerns, worries, because summer gets you so busy. I always know that they talk about all the, when I used to live in Milwaukee, about all the things that you would have to do, and you have to cram it into about 8 to 9 weeks. They start out with the Big Bang and the Summer Fest, and then it just goes one right after the other, day after the other, because you want to jam it all in, because good old Milwaukee, you know, our summer lasts maybe 3 months, maybe. Right now it's really hot, but by the end of August, it's over, it seems like. And you got so many things you got to get done in summer. And people are going here and there and trying to jam in their vacations, trying to jam in things like fixing the driveway in their yard, trying to fix the outside of their house, maybe getting the pool set up, and then you have to tear it back down. It seems like you almost just got it set up. And then there's the work schedules. And tell me about work schedules. I know some of you are busy day after day. Some of you take call. Some of you have 2 jobs, maybe some of you have 3 jobs. And if you don't have a job, even though you're retired, you've got plenty of other things to do. You got grandkids to take care of, you've got all sorts of people to see, you're busy doing this and doing that, and then you've got church piled on top of that. Right now they're looking for call committee people. And that means something else somebody's got to go and do with all the other things that you have piling up on you. It just keeps getting bigger and more, and pretty soon you start tearing your hair out going, how can I get this all done? And you do want to get it done because we think it's the right thing to do. We want to get all this work done in our life. We want to get all these good things that we feel we have to do finished and set up and done and put aside because we want to do a good job. We don't want to leave loose ends. And we want to do a good job because we want to show everybody that we're capable of doing this job, the job of life. Now consider you have all these things to do, and somebody's coming down the driveway, knocking on your door, an old friend from a long time ago, and now, oh my goodness, now I got to show them a good time. Got to get the house cleaned up really quick. I've got to put a meal on. And I want to make sure they're treated well, that we show that I'm a good and hospitable person, that I'll be a good host and make these guests feel welcome. We do this because we care about people and we want them to be shown that they are cared about and loved. Well, that's what Martha and Mary's story is really all about. Martha lived in the town of Bethany. Doesn't say it here, but in the Gospel of John, we hear that. Jesus was going from Samaria down to Jerusalem, and he happened to come into Bethany one day. And like he told his 72 disciples before, you go into the next town, and you stop at the first place that receives you. Martha received them. First home in Bethany. So Jesus comes into her home, and there probably was a few other people with him. We don't know, it doesn't say, but I wouldn't be surprised. And she welcomes him in, and she's going to be hospitable. She's going to make sure that he is well taken care of, that he's comfortable, that he's fed, just like Abraham did when those 3 men, I don't doubt that they were the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that stopped by one day at his house. And so she makes a meal for them. She starts preparing things for them. And where's her sister? She's over there, not paying any attention to what Martha's doing, not paying any attention to the drudgery in the kitchen, the cooking that's going on, the setting up the meal, the cleaning the house, the getting things prepared. She's sitting and doing nothing. Martha is getting the food ready, and Mary's going, the food can wait. Martha's doing her hospitality. She's making sure that she is going to be a good host. And Mary, not helping at all. Now, Martha gets more and more frustrated, is it we hear? And she begins to get angry. And what does she do? She doesn't hide it. She doesn't keep stewing in the kitchen along with the stew. She's going out to Jesus. And she's going, she's over here. She's not helping. Why don't you do something about this? Make her come in to me. She got mad at her Lord. She got mad at God for not making Mary go help. Well, what does Jesus do? He just says, Martha, Martha, you're just worrying about everything. You're distracted by everything. Mary has chosen the good portion. It's not going to be taken away from her. Jesus doesn't get mad at Martha, but she lets her know that Mary's doing the good thing. Why don't you come and join us? Don't be so distracted. Same goes for us. Lord's calling us. Don't be so distracted all the time. Because that's what we end up doing. We let the world distract us from what we should be doing, what the Lord calls us to be doing, which is to be with Him. Oftentimes we think in terms of, well, I'm going to listen, I'll be part of the church, I'll be part of what Jesus is telling me, but it's sort of tangential. We just sort of hear it off to the side because we got so many other things to do. We get busy, we get troubled, we get distracted, and we forget that Jesus just wants us to be hit by Him. We don't have to be going and doing for Him all the time. We want to look good for God. We do that in the church. We always want to look good for God. But you know what? We can't. No matter how good we think we look, the Lord's going to look at us and He's going to see frazzled, disorganized, dirty people because we're sinners. And what else can we be like? That's who we are. We are sinners. And He calls on us to just choose the better portion. Don't worry so much about trying to look like a wonderful Christian, because you're not any more wonderful than any other Christian. Choose the better portion. Instead of Jesus wanting us to come and have a meal of fruits and meats and fine wines and everything like that with Him, what He's saying to us is, I want you to fill your plate up with my words. I want you to eat what I bring for you, which is my word of love and mercy and forgiveness. Be stuffed with the good news of the love that I have for you and drink in His mercy. That's what we're called to do. We oftentimes want to be so good in the church, so good at work, so good at home, that we forget to be with Him. He calls us to listen to His word, to be in His word, to be in Him. We're called to sit at His feet, at the Master's feet, hear His word, and pray that we will know and understand what that word means for us, what that word has done for us. We've got to get the right order of things. Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The world's going to try to distract you and pull you away from the one thing most needed, and that's the Lord Himself. Now, what if the Lord was coming to visit you today? What would you do? Our desire is to show our best to Jesus. Which would leave us no time to just sit still and listen to Him, be in His presence, and to hear His words. And that same thing, like Martha, we're going to end up being anxious and troubled because I'm not doing it well enough. I know people who have said, I can't be in church because I just don't feel good enough about it. This is the place where you do come when you don't feel good enough. The divine service is a great example. The title and the liturgies that we have in the hymnals are called divine services. We have divine service 1, 2, 2A, 2B, 3, 4, all numbers of services. And they all say divine service. And the title should remind us is that we come to church not to give something to Jesus. We don't come here to impress him. We don't come here to show him even our faithfulness. The most important reason we come here is not even to give him praise and honor. We come to church because we're tired. We're tired of how life has treated us. We come to church because we've been crushed and burdened with the cares and the worries of this world. We've been crushed and worried about the harm and the hurt that other people have, as well as ourselves. We come to church because we're saddened by the sinfulness of the world and don't know what to do about it. And we come because we're just plain lonely. Seems like sometimes nobody cares about us. This is the place to come. We come because we're distressed and broken over our own sin. This is the place of refuge. This is the place of refuge for sinners just like us. We come here to receive the comforting words of Jesus. He tells us that he is not going to abandon us. He tells us about his love and mercy and his forgiveness for each and every one of us. And he shows us this by giving us his body and blood, where you receive it right there. He shows us that this is what I've done for you so that you can not be afraid of God, that you don't need to be afraid of what Jesus is coming and that he's coming into our life and that we have to put on some face or some special show for him. He comes to us to show us that he loves us and that his words of mercy are going to lift us up and give us the strength to do what he's called us to do, which is the good works. Because if we try to do good works without the faith and the words of Christ behind us, all it's going to be is like Martha, a drudgery, a chore. And pretty soon we're just going to start getting mad at everybody and everything because nobody's helping. Nobody's doing this for me. It's not working out the way we wanted it to be. I'm not making it look or sound well enough. But with the Lord helping us, giving us faith, working that faith in us with his word, then we will be able to joyfully serve one another. Martha deserves a lot of credit. We can't downplay what Martha was doing. She welcomed Jesus into her home. She showed the fullest form of hospitality that anybody would be doing at that time of the world. She welcomed them in, created a nice supper for everybody, wanted to make sure they were all comfortable. She was doing what the Bible showed everybody would like to do and did, like Abraham. But it's significant to note that Jesus didn't get upset with her because she was serving, because she was working. All he said, Martha, is you're upset and you're worried and you're distracted. Service is a good thing. Service is what our Lord calls us to do. But sitting at the feet of Jesus is the best place for us to be, the first place where we should be. Because when we have a close and daily relationship with Jesus, that's where we will find the joy for doing the things that he calls us to do, the things that we need to do in life. Work can be a drudgery sometimes. Being on call for 24 hours or a whole weekend can drive you crazy because you're always busy. But when we know that the Lord is with us, that becomes now a work of love for whoever is in need at that point. Martha had missed out on the one thing that's most needed for true hospitality. There's no greater hospitality than hearing the words and listening to your guest, especially when that guest is our Lord Jesus. Mary, or Jesus said, the Mary chose the better part, and that will not be taken away from her. It's the same for you. When you hear the words, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, whether it's in a homes, when you're doing your own devotion at home, reading the Bible, being in a Bible class, being here in church, that will not be taken away from you, because that's what's going to give you the strength to get up and go out into the world and joyfully serve. Jesus invited Martha to do what Mary was doing. Come and partake of what Jesus was serving. He was now really wanting to serve them. He wanted to give them the necessary portion. And we're invited too. Not be anxious, not be worried over the things that demand our attention in this life, but only the one important thing, which is Jesus. In him and in his word, we're going to find calmness and we'll find peace in our life. And the words of Jesus, his words to call us to repentance and receiving his meal of mercy, will enliven us and strengthen us. And then we can go and serve others and join what we do, being free from the care and the drudgery and the worry, free to serve when we hear and have Jesus in our life. And in the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.